Monday, August 13th, 2018. And I would like to just point out that on the agenda, we do have an addition of an executive session at the end of the meeting concerning real estate matters. So may we have a moment of silence, please? Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Eric Davidson.
Here.
Steve Lorenzen.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
And Alicia Rule did say she'll be at this meeting. I assume she'll be arriving a little later. And then Charlie Hawkins requested to be excused.
We have a motion to excuse Mr. Hawkins.
So moved.
Meg.
Oh, sorry.
I'm here.
Okay. So we have a motion to excuse Mr. Hawkins.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And 2 seconds. Take your pick, Sam. Mr. Davidson. Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. 5-2-0. Okay. Do we have individuals signed up to speak before council? Okay, we have 3 individuals on the list. The first one on here is Mr. Jim Zell. And this is about updating the preservation of the Blaine Journal.
Yes.
So we have 3 minutes, Mr. Zell.
Okay. I just want to let you know that right now I've got over 5 years of the Blaine Journal archived digitally. And by the end of the week, I'll have 8. So I'm getting to go going pretty fast now. And I'll be meeting with Amy Witt, who's a member of Alicia's group, and she's in charge of Blaine Preservation. So I'll be meeting with her, I think, next Tuesday with the group, and we'll see how we can all help each other out, because there's a lot of interesting things in Blaine history. And I just want to, for the police here, there's one way that you may want to deal with people that break laws. In 1903, there's a man that was caught in a chicken house, killing chickens and putting them in a sack. And they caught him, and his punishment was to walk with those chickens, holding those chickens, the whole length of what was called then Washington Avenue. But some of you here would know is now Peace Portal. So that is, that's better than incarceration, I think. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have Mr. Jim Lucas, and you want to speak on the Pearl Street vacation. Do you want to wait until I open a public hearing, and then I'll call and you can come up at that time? Okay. And now we have Ruby Starr. Is that about the same thing? Okay, so it's about the vacation as well. Okay, all right. Okay, so next on the agenda is the fire chief's report.
Evening, council. Reliability. Tonight, I share with you our responder newsletter. Just a couple things we'll point out on there. That, you can see on the front page, we've hired 5 new firefighters that will be going to North Bend training in about 4 months from now. Be back on the floor. So we actually have 5 openings right now for staff. On the second page, there's a nice article about the county burn restrictions, and the folks in the community have been doing real, real well on not burning. A couple of small fires we got control of right away, but for the most part, the burn complaints are way down this year. I think people are aware it's hot, people are aware it's dry, and it doesn't take much to start a fire. So you can still do your barbecue as long as you're using briquettes and follow the regulations that are outlined there. And then lastly, this Sunday, if you're looking for something to do, we have a motorcycle and car show at our Britton Loop Station. It'd be a fundraiser for the support officers. And there's all kinds of events, kids' events, and everything that goes along with the car show. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was for Splash Days last Friday, we were able to break an engine free and hang out with the kids. That was a lot of fun. Really a lot of attendance. A lot of people were there.
Great.
Yeah, it was really good to see. And then lastly, September 11th is less than a month away, and we'll be having our annual 911 memorial at Peace Arch Park. Hopefully you can all be there. I understand we've already talked to you. Yeah, so perfect. With that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you for the update. Okay, next we have a presentation, but I think Councilor Rule was going to make the presentation, correct, on the downtown. Oh, this lady's going to do it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. It was on behalf of the Blaine Downtown Alliance, so it's not Councilmember Rule.
Okay. So we have a presentation. Can you come up and state your name and your position with the group and give us your report?
Okay. My name is Leslie Buckner.
Can you move your mic down a little bit? There you go.
Is that better?
Thank you. That's better.
Okay. My name is Leslie Buckner, and I'm with the Economic Vitality Group and as their secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks. I was asked to do this presentation a little last minute, so I'm just going to read verbatim from here. I'm familiar with most of the information, but there's a little I'm not here. Okay. So the Blaine Downtown Alliance is a grassroots community-based nonprofit that is dedicated to building community and increasing true economic prosperity of our downtown. The area that we have chosen to include and focus on includes the Peace Arch Park, the Central Business District, which includes Marine Park and the Pier. We imagine building an inclusive community that provides more opportunities for fun, recreation, and convenience for the people who live here and our visitors. We aim to build on the strength of our maritime heritage and celebrate the coastal beauty and waterfront our natural location has to offer. About 50 very active and diverse community members have stepped up as passionate and dedicated volunteers. Of those, 7 are working board members, with 4 more to add next month. 4 are committee chairs, and the remainder are actively working on committees. We have collectively volunteered approximately 4,000 hours so far, and things are ramping up. They're not slowing down. We have a written policy manual that welcomes new volunteers with information and expectations so that their volunteer experience can be effective, straightforward, and meaningful in the hopes of attracting and maintaining our volunteers. We also aim to make volunteering for the Downtown Alliance fun, rewarding, and a way to connect into our community and with each other. So as you know, we've partnered for 2 successful Splash Day events already that brought together children, parents, and grandparents for 2 days of fun and fun and sun in the fire hydrants. We're actively working with downtown property owners to support them in keeping their storefronts clean, attractive, and rented. We are looking to bring these owners and businesses together to brainstorm ways that they can work together with us in our shared goal of building a successful downtown. We believe small towns are successful through collaboration more than threatened by competition from one another, and look forward to providing opportunities for our local business owners to build on that. We plan to put together a downtown business directory as well. We're supporting local entrepreneurs and folks who would like to own a business downtown, or in streamlining rental searches, funding options, and processes that bridge the gap between the desire to start a small business and actually making that happen. We have designed a website and increased social media presence on Facebook. It's called Coastal Blaine, Washington, and we have 1,300 followers there that can find anything happening in Blaine. We look forward to filling the website with more content that will entice visitors and local alike to visit and spend their time and money in downtown Blaine. By promoting Blaine, we plan to enhance the economic vitality of our city. We have plans to beautify our downtown through several cleanup and refresh projects. Our first goal is to take the existing benches and brighten them up through vibrant and cheerful painting of the slats.
and I'm Ruby Starr, volunteer, new. We're seeking city council permission to decorate them to be interesting and colorful. There are five old-style concrete and wood benches downtown. The project will take plain old benches and make them a pop of color in downtown. It will bring some vibrancy and excitement to the street. We expect that this project can be done in one day. With your permission, we can update the benches this summer. The goals: engage volunteers, show interest and investment by community members, add some life to the streetscape, have fun and show that Blaine is fun. This will be a very low-cost project. We plan to ask for donations of supplies, such as drop cloths and paintbrushes. If we cannot raise money for paint, we will request the BTAC small project grant. Our research shows that paint will cost about $150 for all five benches. Any grant request would be small. And I have the pictures of what the benches would look like, but can't show it. And I have a lot of other ideas that will...
for color. We've heard the community say repeatedly that they want more fun and art downtown, and this is such an easy opportunity to meet those goals. We hope you will support our efforts. In the same vein, we plan to install some large planter boxes of beautiful flowers at the ground level of our downtown sidewalks. We are lucky enough to have a volunteer heading this project who works with the flowers at Peace Arch Park and are confident that it will bring beauty and more pops of color and life to our growing downtown. We would also like to consider ways to incorporate art and beauty, such as painting fire hydrants, murals, or possibly doing some street art. We have a committee of people working together to gather the history of downtown and make progress toward building various ways of celebrating it. We know from the Main Street successes elsewhere that preserving our unique history will increase our successes on revitalization significantly, and are thrilled at the early level of interest and dedication to this facet of our organization. In closing, thank you for your support thus far in revitalizing our downtown. We know that our collective success in Blaine will happen with the continued partnership between the Blaine Downtown Alliance, private business, and donors, and you, our city leaders. Thank you, and we look forward to working together.
Thank you very much. Very nice presentation.
Mayor Onion, is that something you wish to have it brought back to our city manager, or do you wish to have it subsequently brought back and agendized on a follow-up meeting?
Yes, I would like to see a little more specifics. I'd like to see, I think if they need a small amount of money, I think we can just pay this out of the general fund somewhere. And I think I would suggest we have a small committee that just oversees the design, whatever they choose to do with the benches in the way of colors or design. If we can just have it overseen by somebody, and I'll let the city manager decide how that might come about. And let the record show the Councilor Rule has arrived at the meeting, and you probably have some comments to make. This is your downtown thing, so.
I've reviewed the comments that you heard, and I apologize for my delay getting here.
That's all right. That was a great report, and I think we're all supportive of the effort, I'm sure, and future efforts for art downtown. We do have some sculptures that we can eventually get installed, I know, and I'd love to see a murals program as well. I know Ferndale had a large mural just done by volunteers, a group of artists that the city group approved the design, and they just went ahead with it, and it's beautiful. I saw a picture of it. So,
Madam Mayor, just to clarify, are you saying that you suggest it comes back as an action item for the permission, or did you just want to refer it to me and
to
you
were formal,
like to see the designs? Is that your suggestion?
Well, I don't think we need to formally approve this. I think we all agree this is a great project, but I think we could have somebody on staff oversee the project as far as taking a look at the designs and just having approval of that, since it is city property.
That works for me. If there are no objections from council, that we can handle it.
That works for
administratively.
Everybody.
Yeah, my only concern would be ongoing maintenance of a painted surface. The benches are raw wood now, which is doesn't require maintenance, but it does. If once they're painted, they need to be painted.
And I think we'll ask for a commitment from the Alliance to take care of that maintenance.
Yes.
That's the only thing I would want to bring up.
Mm-hmm. That's a great suggestion. Okay. Next, we have written communications. We've got four of them on the list right here. City Clerk, would you like to read them off?
We have an email dated July 26, 2018, from Debbie Harder and Annette Bagley regarding the new Starbucks in Blaine. Email dated July 30, 2018, from John Urak regarding the city's website. Email dated August 9, 2018, from Bill Beck regarding the boat launch and web lockers project. And we have a new email today from Dennis Olson regarding ward voting. That should all be on the dais in front of you.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, I was going to respond to Mr. Olson's email on council's behalf, and I just wanted to run through some of that with you this evening real quickly. Mm-hmm. You probably all remember that the action item that was back on, I believe, was, as he pointed out, May 29th, which was where council reviewed the options or the possibility of establishing a different voting organization, if you will, for the wards. Right now, the way things are done is that the individual wards put forward the people who would run for the position, and then the city as a whole votes for all of the people who will represent the citizens. They don't vote just on a by-ward basis. The wards only vote in the primary to set forward two candidates, if there are more than two candidates. Mr. Olson suggested that that should change. Council at that time voted to take no action, to not change anything. This comes from the premise of the Voting Rights Act, which was established to avoid diluting the votes of protected groups. In particular, it was addressing some issues in particularly in a couple communities in eastern Washington where large Latino group, minority groups, were being divided into multiple different districts where they never had a voice that was loud enough to vote for representation with a different kind of structure than some of those communities had significant numbers of Latinos elected to positions. So clearly the voice of the community wasn't being heard. The Voting Rights Act is intended to protect certain groups, minority groups primarily, and that's not really the issue that Mr. Olson is addressing. He just prefers that wards vote for their own representatives, not because of a minority issue, not because people are underrepresented, but simply because he would prefer that they vote for their own. In his email, he kind of premises that we have to take some kind of action, but we don't. We haven't received what's called a notice of violation where someone would step forward and say we have underrepresented groups because of the structure of our elections. Mr. Olson didn't indicate that. Nonetheless, though, council did review the issue and opted not to take action. So there is no obligation to do anything. In addition, Mr. Olson indicates that there's a timeline on which we need to act. There would be if we were actually following those parameters and we were required to take some kind of action, but we're not because we didn't receive a notice of violation from Mr. Olson or anyone else. But more so, you did take an action, and your action was to opt not to change things. So I intend to let Mr. Olson know that we don't have a formal notice of violation that has occurred. I personally don't believe that we are our ward structure or our open voting by the whole citizens is undermining representation of any protected group, and that we're not intending to take any action as you have previously voted in May. So that's the gist of it. His email makes it sound like there are some things we're supposed to do, but there aren't, and our voting structure is legal. And unless someone demonstrates that there is a minority group that's not being fairly represented, it can stay the way that it is. So that's just to let you know, that's going to generally be my response to him.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Questions?
Any questions, anybody?
No. Thank you.
Pretty clear to us. Okay, thank you. And also the email from Mr. Urach regarding the city's website. I'd just like to make a comment that we are going to have a new website. It's in the process right now of being redesigned. It's going to have a whole new look, and that the information at that time will be updated. That was the issue. There was some old information on there, some dated information, and that's all going to be gone through and corrected in the next, what, month or two, would you say, Mr. City Clerk?
So the departments will be going through their portions of the website over the next, like you said, in the next couple of months to clean everything up, make sure the context is correct, and to delete unwanted pages. But the redesign will be over the next several months.
Okay.
So we shouldn't expect a new website by the end of summer. It's looking more like probably early 2019.
Great.
Yeah.
As we look at that redesign and updating all of that, could we make sure that we build in a plan for keeping the content updated?
Certainly.
We don't have a central person on staff to do that, so we rely on the department heads, and I've asked Sam to make sure he stays on top of the department heads to keep their data up to date. So he will be bird-dogging this with the department heads to make sure they're constantly reminded, keep it up to date, because it falls on their heads, several different people.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll do a little better job at that. Okay, next is a consent agenda, and there's four items on here. There's a voucher memo with approval of bills in the amount of $241,608.12, and a wire register of $305,730.95, and an advance payment of $4,740.15. Approval of payroll in the amount of $583,033.25. Approval of the July 23rd City Council minutes, and also to authorize the City Manager to sign a renewed agreement for prosecution services, and that is in your packets. So may I have approval to approve the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councilor Lawrenson, second by Councilor Olson to approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, next we have a continuation of a public hearing that at our last meeting we had opened up concerning the Pearl Street right-of-way vacation. And maybe we don't have information. Yeah, we do have some information in our packet about this. Intent to vacate unopened right-of-way on Pearl Street east of Bayview Avenue. Ben, are you going to do a little?
Well, I think you basically did it. I was going to say that it was decided to keep this open. Mm-hmm. So at this time, we'd like to invite any member of the audience 5 minutes to discuss the Pearl Street right-of-way vacation. Sorry, could you hear me, or do I need to get closer?
I heard you. Yes, I opened the public hearing for anyone who would like to come up and speak for or against this vacation. And anybody want to come forward? Okay, ma'am. Would you like to come up and state your name and address, please? And you have 3 minutes.
My name is Naomi Knowlton, and I live on Bayview Avenue, almost across from the proposed vacation.
Could you bend that mic down, please, and right in front of your mouth? They don't pick up very well.
Is that better?
That's a little better, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I'm opposed to vacating that. Well, really, I should start by saying I don't know why it wants to be vacated. So that wasn't given in the letter that we received. So can anyone enlighten me as to why it's being vacated or requested to be vacated?
Madam Mayor, if you'd like, Ms. Knowlton could sit down for a moment, and Ben can give a brief presentation on that to address that item.
Oh, okay.
Bring us up to speed for folks that weren't here at the last meeting.
Let's spend a few minutes, Ben, just going over the generalities of it and answer her question, please. And then, ma'am, you can come up afterwards if you like.
You're going to answer the question?
Yeah.
And then I'll come back.
Sure.
Yes. So my understanding is the petitioners, Sally and, forget the name, but the Langs, they wanted, I guess, their property, the lawn that they were essentially took ownership of, to officially become their property. And the reason why is they were nervous that a road or some kind of utility or something that they didn't want would be there, and they like the property the way it is and the perceived property line. So that's what they wanted, is it to be officially theirs.
Okay.
Thank you for answering the question. What I see being possible if it is vacated is for that property to be developed in behind. And I think that would negatively affect hundreds of people in that area, and I'll tell you why. My husband and I have lived in that area since 1990, and when we first moved in across the street, it was all old-growth cedars and lots of forest, and we could hardly hear the train at all. During the 2000 decade, houses went up, and a development went in with the houses right along the track behind that yellow house on Hughes. And now it's just noise streaming right through from the railway all to our neighborhood because they took down all the trees. On that particular property, there are about 22 evergreens, some of which are old-growth forests. And my concern is that if we have another corridor available for noise, that the quality of life in that neighborhood is going to be totally destroyed. So that's my opinion. I'd like you to consider the possibility of opening that and if it becomes development potential.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Would anyone else like to speak? Please state your name and address, please.
My name is Sally Lang, and I do live at 2012 Bayview Avenue. And I am the petitioner. I can assure you in 25 feet, we aren't going to be developing anything. The reason we do want to acquire the 25 feet is because I think when you were out to put the signs on, the property line as it is probably about this far from our house. And you couldn't even find the pin because it is in landscaping that we are maintaining. The reason we have no intention of cutting one limb practically off of any of those old growth trees, that's one of the reasons too we are petitioning to purchase this, because we love those trees. We don't want development to go in there any more than you do. And so that's why we don't want to have something come or people picnicking right next to our bedroom window. We're not being selfish. It's just that we do want to protect the property that we have. And even 25 feet, that does leave 45 feet for easement if there had to be electrical or what have you. So there would be 45 feet that would be to the, I guess, north of us, on towards the neighbors. Every neighbor I have talked to has been fully on board. The neighbor next to me, the Kirks, who were here last time, they were very much, and every neighbor around me has said they were on board as well. Mm-hmm. And so just the 25 feet is all we are wanting to acquire, just to, because of how invasive it is, just mm-hmm. how close that property line is to our house.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Please state your name and address, please.
I'm Jim Lucas. I'm the managing member of Stonewood Cottages, mm-hmm. which is the property, the developed property, directly behind the request or the vacate, behind the Langs. And I am in favor of this vacation with a couple of caveats that, as she mentioned, that it is that the trees remain, that they will not be cut, and that the trail, the north 10 feet, that because of the subdivision that we have, the development we have, that was part of that, our part of our property line comes right against our property line to the west, is the east property line of the Langs property. So there is going to be no more development in there from anybody else except ourselves, which has been approved for years and years by this council itself. My only other concern is that the access trail, or the ability to put that in, that remains in perpetuity also, because our walkway to the beach, part of the plan for our development, was to go down there to that parking area and, of course, down to the beach frontage. So I am in favor of it, but those two caveats, that the trees remain and into perpetuity, and the same way with that trail. Even if someone on the north property, if they came back or some future owner wanted to vacate that, that it would always be, the right-of-way would remain. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll close the public hearing. And we are going to vote on this shortly, a little while later. And if council has any specific questions at that time, we will get those resolved before we take our vote. Okay, next is action items. And the first one is the lease agreement proposal with Christ the King Church for the ongoing use of the Senior Center and Pavilion every Sunday starting in October. And Mr. Crawford.
Good evening, Council. For tonight's request for Council action, I brought you. It's the, as you just mentioned, the Christ the King Church proposal to have an ongoing lease agreement starting in October. The church approached us about a couple months ago to go over the proposal, and Shauna Walton is here. She's the Director of Operations for Christ the King Church, and she's probably going to go over a little bit what the proposal is, and afterwards I'll kind of reflect on the issues and concerns.
Okay. Hi, my name is Shauna Walton. I'm the Director of Operations for Christ the King Church. We're located in Bellingham, but we have five campuses. We're proposing to plant a church in Blaine. Tyler Mitchell here will be the pastor. We are hoping to potentially lease the senior center, and would primarily be there until we reach a attendance level of probably up to 20 kids. We're figuring out that that would probably be the limit that we could just use the senior center, and then moving the kids over into the pavilion for the duration. The lease would not be longer than probably a year. We're hoping to outgrow it quickly, but we are currently going to be starting in October with about 50 people to begin with.
Okay. Any further comments? any further comments from either of you?
Yeah, I would just say, Sean is our operations manager, but yeah, we just have a heart to serve the city of Blaine, to be a church that's really active in the community, and so we've looked for ways to partner in that, but we're just looking for a place to grow, and so we are hoping to get into the senior center for a year and then use the pavilion if we outgrow the use of the senior center for both kids and adults. So that, mm-hmm. that's all I'd add to it.
Okay. Can we ask you some questions, if anybody has questions? I have one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so your intent is to use the senior center portion for the services, and yeah. then also the pavilion as well, or?
Yeah, so the plan would be to use only the senior center until we outgrow its capacity to hold a kids program, and then we would
use both the senior center and the pavilion at the same time.
And the kids would be in the pavilion area?
Kids would be in the pavilion. So we wouldn't be really hauling much into it, and we'd just be trying to use it just to, for, you know, 20, 30 kids to play in, have a, you know, fun time. So
would there be any need to set up tables and chairs in the pavilion, or is this something the kids just play?
Potentially, yeah, we could set up a few tables, but the setup would be fairly minimal, and mm-hmm. we would figure out a storage solution for our gear, so it'd have a minimal impact on the weekly operations of the senior center and pavilion.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mr. Crawford, do you have anything else more to say?
Yes, I do. All sounds great, and they could be a great addition to the community. There are some potential concerns and issues that we wanted to bring forth to you, Council, because it does warrant some discussion. First and foremost is the availability factor. The community center and pavilion were designed for community uses. At this point in time, we don't have any ongoing uses by a private organization or any kind of third parties for that matter. This would be the first time the city, at least from since I've been here, would be renting it out to a non-community or city-related organization for that matter for an ongoing length of time. The reason why that's a concern is because if we do that, there's less time available for community uses. That's just the way it works. And not only that, we have a facility rental policy that while this one specifically fall under the facility rental policy, if you will, part of it does dictate that you can't have a third-party organization cannot monopolize on the time. They're not going to be using it from 8 a.m. to midnight. That's just not going to happen. It's only for 4 hours, but yet again, like I said, that's why we're bringing it to council right now for this discussion. Next up is zoning. If I get this wrong, I assume Mr. Rangel will jump on in and correct me. But it's the senior center is located in a residential medium density zoning district, and typically a new church would require a conditional use permit. However, since the center was constructed for committee assembly purposes, and conditional use permits were approved in 93, 2011, and 2015, Mr. Wenger has interpreted these approvals to include public assembly uses, including those by private groups and religious affiliations. I brought that to you, even though it was interpreted by Mr. Wenger as being okay. If it ever came up and say, what's going on here, the church is going in, Mr. Wenger already clarified that this would be approved and allowed under that. Mm-hmm. Next up is the facility rental policy. As I already discussed, is that it would be a monopoly of time, but it would be using a chunk of time. And that's something to be aware of. That's now less time for community uses. We also have the janitorial and maintenance concerns. I was providing some information earlier today, so I kind of alleviated some of the concerns for the janitorial uses and for the maintenance uses. There's only going to be so many people in the pavilion and senior center for that matter. It's not going to be hundreds. It's going to probably be 50 to begin with. But there will be some additional janitorial and maintenance concerns. We might have to increase staff time to address these issues or possibly even contract out, because at this point in time, our public works staff are constrained as it is to maintain those buildings. Lastly, we have the school district parking lot. So the senior center right in front of an 8th Street, the city doesn't own that parking lot. School district does. And so we have a lease with the school district to use that parking lot, and to be able to have Christ the King Church be able to use that parking lot, we'd have to get written consent from the school district for them to be able to use it, essentially. They don't have to use it to use the buildings. They could park on G Street or street parking for that matter. But yet again, if they were to utilize that parking lot, we'd have to get written consent from the school district. That being said, there would be some revenue involved. It would be an increase to the general fund, so that's something to be aware of. And at this point in time, you know, the staff essentially saying or recommending you either authorize the city manager to enter into or at least negotiate a lease agreement with Christ the King Church, as long as it's not a net loss to the city and it meets the facility rental, any kind of policy-related facility rentals, or B, deny the recommendation by Christ the King Church to lease out these buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, does council have any questions?
Yep.
Ms. Olson.
What would be the times that they're requesting to lease the space from 8 a.m. to noon?
Correct.
Every Sunday?
Correct.
For approximately a year.
Has anyone spoken with the senior center about any concerns they may have?
Yes, I spoke with the senior center. I believe Crescent King Church as well. I've spoken with Kathy Sitker of the senior center, and I spoke with the Blaine Birch Bay Park and Recreation District number 2, because they do have classes at this point in time on Sundays. They said they would move those classes to Saturdays. Senior center does have events that occur occasionally on Sundays, and I believe they spoke with Crescent King Church, and they're both parties were willing to accommodate each other for these one-time events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I have one more question.
Yes.
This is anecdotal. See, the parking lot on H Street at the Senior Center and Pavilion belongs to the school district?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
That's my only comment right there. Yeah. Is I'll be darned. There we are.
Okay. Councilor Davidson.
A couple of questions, yeah. So, I'm just kind of curious, why can't the Senior Center just sublet it themselves since they run that building? Why do they have to come to us for this?
They don't rent it.
What's that?
They
don't have to come to us for this. Is that what you're saying?
Wait, let's. You're directing the question at
somebody who knows
Sam. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me answer on his behalf.
Sure.
We run the building. It's our building.
Okay.
So utilization of the building, for example, for the senior center program is at the city's granting authority to them to do that. The Boys and Girls Club is the city granting authority to them to do that. So we would be the ones who would lease out space or or would on a short-term basis allow community use for things like a birthday party or special events that happen in the building. So it's all regulated by us.
Okay, great. And is there a policy as far as reserving in the future that if we tell Christ the King Church you can rent this for a year, is that breaking any kind of policy of how long that we're typically allowed to?
Not in our facility rental policy, no. Nothing stipulates that. I said the only thing that would possibly infringe upon that was you can't monopolize the time by a non-city-related group.
Okay.
And that's.
I would say the policy does say that city facilities and open spaces are available for interim use whenever possible.
Same term use, but it doesn't say time length.
That does not say what interim use is. Okay. You have to interpret that. Much you're reading the whole policy, but the concept is, I think, as Sam expressed, it's trying to keep it available for a variety of community uses.
And the only other experience I have anything like this was two and a half years ago when the mosque in Shalishan neighborhood was open, and there was a public hearing about that since it was going in as a community center versus a church. Anyway, is there a need for a public hearing for this kind of thing before we act on it?
So that the public hearing was for a conditional use permit for a religious facility at an old religious facility that had closed for more than 6 months. So that was why a new conditional use permit was needed in the case of the mosque or the Islamic Center. Mr. Wenger interpreted the code, the existing conditional use permit for the community center allows for assembly uses, and this would fall into that category.
Okay.
So there's an ongoing conditional use permit for the Boys and Girls Club Senior Center facility, so that there's not a need for a new hearing.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a little concerned about public use. We're asking to tie up a public facility every week for a chunk of time for one particular group, and it certainly isn't the group in particular that I'm concerned of. I'm concerned that if we do that for this group, are we impacting the whole? So do people use this on Sundays? Is this something that we rent out? What's the typical use of that building?
It is available to rent out at this point in time. It's only being utilized by the Blaine Birch Bay Park and Recreation District number 2 Sunday mornings. But as I mentioned earlier, they will be moving that particular class to, I believe, Saturday. So once they move that, it will be empty on Sundays.
Of course, it is also fair to point out when they move to Saturday, they then displace the possibility of others who might want to use the facility on Saturday. So making room on Sunday, it moves a use to Saturday. And there are other groups that do use the facility, things like fair, craft fair type things or art shows that have been associated with some of the things like Wings Over Water and other events occur there on the weekends. And Sam processes many permits for things like birthday parties or anniversary parties that happen on Saturdays and I don't know, from time to time on Sunday.
But is that referring to the pavilion alone, the senior center, or both? Can you qualify?
So the senior center is on Saturdays. A lot of times it's occupied for those classes, whether it's a senior center or an oriented program or through the Blaine Birch Bay Park or Recreation District. However, in terms of the pavilion, that will usually sit empty on Sundays, unless Mr. Jones was stating that there might be an event, like a BTAC event that might occupy the space, or the senior center's Christmas Bazaar. They're going to be using that space in early December, and that's kind of the event I was alluding to earlier, where they will have to use that space, and I think just Christ the King Church will have to accommodate that, or at least that's what they discussed, if I understand correctly.
What alternatives do we have for public space if there is another group who needs it on Saturday because of being now fuller, or Sunday?
Mm. Well, at least what the city has is the senior center and pavilion. At this point in time.
That's the only public space we have available.
But more public space is, if we can do like a park special use permit for, if we're at a park for a community-oriented event, but if someone, like if a birthday party comes in, then those are generally the spaces we rent out. It would be the senior center and pavilion.
So we don't have a single other indoor space for public use in the city of Blaine?
Theoretically, we could rent this space out. Or it could be reserved. We do occasionally do that for community meetings or even the conference rooms, but generally speaking, that is correct. It's pavilion and senior center, generally speaking.
As far as city owned, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as city owned.
Thank you.
I suppose we could, if we wanted to consider this, we could say that they may use the senior center end of the building, but not the pavilion to at least allow that to be free for renting to other groups. We could put that stipulation in there and limit to just the senior center.
I don't know if this is something that either parties would be comfortable with, but Sam, you mentioned that there had been discussion between the senior center, Blaine Birch Bay Parks and Rec, and Christ the King Church about Christ the King Church being willing to forego their services on certain Sundays if other groups were interested in using it. Is that something that can be written into a lease agreement, or would that be too wishy-washy?
You could write something like that into a lease agreement. It just adds complication.
Exactly.
If someone get their form into the city in time to displace the church, and then do they get compensated financially for not getting to use the space during that time frame, and it adds a management complicating factor for sure. Whereas if you know someone's going to be there every Sunday, every morning, for the morning, then that's simple. It's just booked. If something like that is written into the lease, then Sam gets the call. It's like, well, it is available. I just am going to displace these other folks, and he has to manage that process. But it could certainly be done.
Because I'm thinking for certain things like the craft fair, larger events, pavilion at least is very used. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if Christ the King Church is going to be using the space, I know their programs were very successful, especially with youth in a lot of their other campuses, and it's also revenue for the city. So I would like to see both things work, but I can see Alicia's point that you don't want to completely hogtie every Sunday morning in the city's only available space. So I'm just looking to see what kind of, especially for the pavilion, what kind of flexibility could be available
that could
be written into the lease.
Steve?
What I would like to do, this is the first time this is brought in front of the council. Obviously, I don't feel we're ready to make a decision on it one way or the other. I would like to see that the city clerk and city manager work on this, bring it back to us in a couple weeks. There's some concerns about the pavilion floor that were spoke about by Raven. Doesn't sound like maybe that would be an issue as much, for at least in the beginning of their services and stuff. So that's what I would like to see us do, instead of keep going back and forth this evening, would be to take a look at it with the city manager and city clerk and Christ the King, to see if there's something we can work out that would be favorable to everybody.
And we could include a couple council members in that group as well.
Is that a motion, Mr. Lawrence?
Please, yes, it's a motion.
Second.
Did you get what he was moving?
No,
I didn't.
That was a motion at the table.
Okay, so I make a motion that we don't take any action on this evening, but we ask that the city manager and the city clerk work with Christ the King and other people involved in this to come back to us in a couple weeks with some more information of the pros and cons and how we move forward if we wish to.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. You caught that? Who did? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, motion carried 6-0. Okay, next action item is professional services agreement with Reichard and EB for Gateway Regional Pond Design to serve certain properties along Boblett Street, Grant Avenue, and Boblett Court. This is in your packet as well.
Good evening, Council.
Hello.
So this is related to the Gateway properties or the airport property. It's to design a regional facility that will help mitigate for stormwater on all the future and existing developments in that area. Reichart and EB started the design in 2012. Then they stopped under our request. We needed to get a little bit more things and figured out. There were some unknowns regarding funding as well as who would be entering into the pond. We have a little bit better direction now, so we would like R&E to complete their design. And you'll see that this is actually going to be a new budget request, but there is funding available in our stormwater fund to complete the design. We're hoping that LID will fund the construction. And you'll see this will be part of the mid-year budget request. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
So this is coming out of enterprise funds, correct? Okay. And the font is pretty small. Is that $166,000 and some change? There on the back page? Am I looking at the right?
I think. Sorry, Jeff, do you?
146.
Oh, yeah, 100. The design fee is $146,920, not to exceed.
And that's the design fee?
Yeah. Was that the question?
Yeah, because I can't read the font. That's
any
why.
Other questions?
Oh, sorry.
Any more? I have a question. So does this mean they're starting from scratch because the size is larger or anything, and it's still going to cost $146,000? They're not starting from scratch?
So about half of this cost is having to do with environmental. There's just more wetland, or they have to redo a wetland assessment because some preliminary work was done, but it wasn't officially adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So this, and I think it's roughly $72,000, is just for the environmental permitting alone. They will use a lot of their knowledge of the area. This design team has also put together a few interim designs for some of the smaller projects that have occurred in this basin. So they're very familiar with how the drainage works, as well as conveyance systems, and just a comprehensive knowledge of the roads out there, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And a second question I have is, because we will more than likely be displacing the current pond, mm-hmm, that's in that area, and this one will take its place, and more so, and then some. The berm, I assume the berm that goes around it, we had talked about having a trail.
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to include design of a trail?
Yes, that is included.
That will go around the pond, and it will be a recreational feature as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. All right. Would someone like to make a motion to recommend the council authorize city manager to execute this contract in the amount of $146,920, not to exceed?
So moved.
Second. Is there a second? Okay. Moved by Councilor Olson, seconded by Councilor Rule. Any other comments or questions? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next is professional services agreement with Brown and Kaiser for design of new underground electrical conduit to serve the Gateway District between H Street and Sweet Road. This is also in your packets.
So this project, as Mayor said, is also related to the Gateway property. Before all the development comes in, we would like to strengthen the electrical system by providing a redundancy. So this will essentially come from the substation on Hughes Avenue, provide a loop or some additional feed to pipeline in Odell, and that should help strengthen the whole area for future power needs. And this is part of the current budget. We would just like to, it's a little bit accelerated because we want to get in there before all the development does. So it's all going to be paid out of the electrical fund.
This has been in the plan for some time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, any questions? Councilor Erickson.
And so none of this is a Puget Sound Energy issue, right? Correct. This is all us.
Yes.
And how much of this is going to be $55,000? How much of the work is going to be done internally that we can do, or is this all going to be contracted out?
Well, right now we're just, this is the design, mm-hmm. and so all that design is going to be contracted out. As far as construction goes, I think we'll have to wait until we see what the design costs are, or sorry, the construction costs will be based on the engineer's estimate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, may I have a motion then to authorize the city manager to execute the contract with Brown and Kaiser for engineering design services to design a new underground electrical conduit to serve the Gateway District between H and Sweet Road, not to exceed $55,000.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Councilor Olson, seconded by Councilor Erickson to approve this contract. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried 6-0. Next is the intent to vacate unopened right-of-way on Pearl Street east of Bayview Avenue.
So Gerald and Sandy Lang petitioned the city to vacate 35 feet of the unopened Pearl Street right-of-way. However, staff is recommending that only 25 feet be vacated and reserve the 10 feet for a trail and utility, future utilities, as well as an additional 10 feet for some parking along Bayview. So that was what the staff recommends, and you'll see that regarding the budget, the property will be appraised, and they'll reimburse the city for the value of the property that they receive. And as an additional note, that property that they get will be taxed, so as part of a tax revenue.
Okay.
And then, are there any questions on this one?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilor Olson.
I wasn't here at the July 23rd meeting, but I noticed that between what was the staff recommendation between then and now appears to have changed. Back in July, one of the recommendations was a covenant assuring that no permanent structures or pavement shall be placed over the easement area.
Hmm.
That's referring to the 10 feet where the trail is?
No, I believe that would be the property that they receive. So in this case, the 25 feet that they receive, they will provide.
Nothing would be built on it?
Correct.
Why doesn't the current recommendation include that?
Under the recommendations, I see a note that says retain the north 10 feet for the trail and utility purposes and the west 10 feet for right-of-way for parking, and then it says no structures will be allowed in these areas. That's on page 2 of 2.
Right, so no structures will be, the two don't seem consistent to me. In
okay.
One of them, it's saying no structures in the 10 feet where the trail goes, no structures in the 10 feet for the parking, but they can put structures in the rest of the area. There was some concern from the community about tree removal.
Right.
And if we're going to have a covenant that says leave it the way it is, I think that should say leave it the way it is. No structures in the entire easement, only on the trails. There's a lack of clarity. I'm not comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Ben, do you want to explain why it is different now, or would you like me to?
You should, because I don't understand.
So I can explain what the difference is. Formerly, Raven's recommendation was to retain an easement over the whole right-of-way area that was being vacated. We often do that so that it can be utilized in the future for utility purposes, to run an electric line through there or a water line or a sewer line. But after more evaluation of this area, she's come to the conclusion that we just don't need that there. The way the area has built out and built up, and the fact that you can't, the neighborhood's not really going to expand because it's up against the water there and bounded mm-hmm. by the railroad tracks, that there's not a need to retain an easement over the rest of that area. So that area that you're speaking of, had it had an easement on it, it wouldn't have been able to have any buildings on it. But since that easement's not needed, in Raven's opinion, then it could be just free and clear property that they could theoretically put an addition on their home, or you know, could put a shed there or something like that in the future. So that's the difference on those two. It was not to preserve trees. That was not the purpose of that.
No, I understand that. It, in fact, the new language that Raven's suggesting, which removes the easement over the entire thing, removes protection of open space and trees, which a community member brought up.
Right, but they're unrelated. They have a similar effect, but
that's not what she
was making it for.
Okay, but what we are being asked to take action on now, they would be allowed to build on the property that they're buying, and they would be allowed to remove all the trees if they so desired. What we're being asked to act on now.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm not in favor of that. Okay.
And the only way to prevent that, if we wanted to, was to maintain an easement. Is that correct?
Or to run a covenant with
them. You could have them record a covenant that restricted the removal of trees and vegetation if you wanted to do that. We don't do much of that. That's atypical for us. Mm-hmm. You could have an easement wouldn't do it, because an easement would be for utilities, and mm-hmm. in fact we might go in and cut down trees if we were going to dig a sewer pipe through mm-hmm. there, right? So it that wouldn't do it. You'd need a covenant to preserve the trees if that was your goal.
Well, the original language is that the agreement would include, in quote, a covenant assuring that no permanent structures or pavement shall be placed over the easement area. So that covenant was included, even though it was not for that reason, it would have had that effect.
Except if we wanted to put a sewer line through there, we would have cut down the trees and dug a trench and put mm-hmm. a sewer line through. That's what I'm saying, is that covenant wouldn't have restricted the removal of the trees.
But it does restrict permanent structures.
Permanent structures and pavement, but that doesn't restrict the removal of the trees and not building permanent structures. Right? They could have landscaped differently than it is today mm-hmm. under that cover. So it's just to be really clear, if you want to do that, it's not included. And it wasn't really included before. It had other provisions before.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Couple of logistical questions here, and then some nooks and crannies. How close is the property line to the house? We talked about it being really close, but how close specifically does anybody know?
It was in the original information. Mm-hmm. I think it was about 5 feet, about 5 feet, even a little bit less than that.
Okay, and if the vacation was granted, and the size of the lot becomes larger, what kind of development could go on that property versus what we have now?
You're allowed. Alex, can you answer that question?
Yes. It is a single-family zoning residential low-density district, and so only single-family homes are built there, and likely would not facilitate any new construction. You could possibly do an addition to the home, or you know, build a deck or something like that.
No mother-in-law units or no detached garages or anything like that.
Well, you could do actually an accessory dwelling unit, such as a mother-in-law suite, through a conditional use permit in that district, which would be reviewed by our planning commission.
And Alex, what's the side yard setback in that zone, and approximately how much more land would become available? Can you estimate?
So the side yard setback in that district is 8 feet, 25-foot front yard setback, and 30-foot rear yard setback. So there's bigger setbacks in that district. So depending if there's a 5-foot setback today, and they were granted an additional 25 feet, so that'd be 30 feet from the house, Take off 8 feet, that'd give them about a 22-foot area to do an addition, approximately.
And so they wouldn't be, we wouldn't be vacating all the way to the street. We're still, the city's still maintaining 10 feet from the street. Is that what I'm reading here as far as the right-of-way for parking, like where the signs are now? That's, that would be part of that that we'd maintain?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it for me.
No, I think it was asked for me, I think, this morning. Thank you.
If they chose to do an addition, a 22-foot, if it goes north addition, are there trees in that area?
Well, yes. Yeah,
I believe there is.
So it would require removal of at least one or more trees. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I believe it would result in a tree or two being removed.
I would maybe point out their northern property line is quite long, so there's different areas along it where an addition could be added or an accessory dwelling unit could be, or an accessory structure could be built. And so we'd have to look at a specific proposal, I think, before we could determine whether, in fact, there was trees being removed or not. But there definitely are trees right there in the area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think, obviously, we're all concerned about the trees, and the public was concerned about them. At this point, at least, I don't know, and I don't feel you do. In the 25 feet that we're looking to grant to them, how many trees, how close, you know, are they? I know there's a group of trees. I walked there Sunday, but I didn't measure away from, you know, from 5 feet away from the house, another 25 feet, how many trees would be affected. And I don't know if anybody can tell me that, whether the property owner can tell me that or not.
We could ask Ms. Lang her opinion on that. We could possibly pull up an aerial photo from last meeting where Raven presented that kind of information, but it doesn't show every tree trunk.
No.
There are two particularly large cedar trees that are probably the ones that people are most thinking of there. They seem to lie pretty close to the center of that right-of-way, if I'm not mistaken, so it might be outside of the setback area.
And that's what I'm wondering.
Again, and I would also point out the Langs have mentioned they don't have any indication of doing anything other than keeping it in its natural state or its landscaped state, because it's mostly a lawn, honestly. A lot
but
of it
future
is
owners,
front part,
that we have to consider
but exactly
future owners.
There is the possibility of future owners. They will be restricted by the zoning regulations, so they could add on if they wanted to.
Is there any proposed or spoken of development of that outside use of that by the city at this point?
No, and that's what Raven spoke to at the last meeting, is there is no proposed future use of that by the city except for to allow a trail corridor to go through to access the subdivision that Mr. Lucas spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the 10-foot would be retained for a trail easement, and presumably another 10 feet on the north side would be retained, so a 20-foot trail corridor would exist. Right now, with this action, there'd be a 45-foot trail corridor. But it's very likely if a property owner were to come from the north side and say, we'd like to vacate the 25 feet as well, a future council might look at that and go, well, we gave the other council 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, gave 25 feet to these people and thought it was reasonable. That seems like we ought to be fair to that person. There's no obligation to do that, but it would very likely be a part of it.
And how wide a trail would be left?
Well, that would leave a 20-foot wide corridor if those things were to happen. The trail would probably only be 6 feet wide. It's a pretty low standard trail concept there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to access about 10 homes that are off
mm-hmm.
the cul-de-sac
right.
in the back.
Okay.
If I understand this right, it sounds like almost all the parties are in favor of saving these trees. We haven't come up with a proposal that actually does protect these trees on any side. So... at the risk of pushing this off again, I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with passing this as written, but I wonder if we can massage this a little to actually get to the outcome that it seems that everybody is looking for.
You could do something like, if council were in favor and proposed it as such, you could pass it with a addition of a covenant to preserve all existing trees over 10 inches diameter at breast height or 6 inches diameter at breast height. I do want to point out, we as a city are not in the position typically or in the capacity of preserving trees that are outside of critical areas or shoreline jurisdiction. So we don't have a mechanism in place to sort of preserve or protect those trees. It would simply be something that would run with the land, and hopefully those people would obey by it. And if they didn't, well, then there'd be penalties in the future. But this would be an anomaly for us. But you could certainly add that to it, and it could be written as such. This is only an intent to pass. The ordinance would come back. This is not the the ordinance.
Okay.
With a covenant, can you explain to me how legal that is in 20 years when they sell their property or it is turned over to somebody else? You know, if I buy it in 20 years, do I have these trees whether I want them or not?
It can be a binding covenant that runs with the land.
Okay.
With no option to remove it without the city's approval.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the vacation and to add to the ordinance coming back to us and a covenant?
Well, we're not actually, are we approving?
We're approving the intent to.
Action item.
We still have to approve an ordinance.
I honestly would be in favor of a little more structured a little more structured recommendation that kind of fits with me, yeah, and kind of fits the covenant, Alicia, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I think what we're being asked to do is move that we intend to vacate. We're not necessarily approving conditions tonight. Michael, am I correct?
That's correct. And it's clear, well, I guess it's not clear, because you need a vote that includes the covenant for it to be clear to us.
We can
kind of read the writing on the wall, but you should vote whether or not you want a covenant. And then it would come back with an ordinance, and the covenant would be a binding agreement that would be separate from the ordinance. That would run with the land, meaning it would last in perpetuity.
I mean, I think that in 2 weeks, the city's not going to put a substation there or anything like that.
No.
So I think if we waited 2 weeks, had this nice and tight like we all felt comfortable with and voted then, I would feel more comfortable with that. But if we want to vote tonight, then obviously we can
vote to remand this back to staff to come back with a more detailed recommendation to include a covenant. So it's a little more clearly spelled out. Is that what you're getting at?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, at our next meeting. Okay, so can we go that route and bring that back? So who would like to make that motion?
I motion that we table this point until next council meeting to get recommendations a little more clear in regards to covenants and trees.
Second. Okay, it's been moved by Councilor Erickson, second by Councilor Rule, to bring this back at our next meeting with a little more detail, including a covenant, at which time we will vote. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next we have committee, commission, and board reports. Do we have a BTAC or a Chamber of Commerce report?
BTAC meeting tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., and no report on the chamber.
Okay. Next is Boys and Girls Club and Port of Bellingham.
No report.
No report. Drayton Harbor, Charlie isn't here. Library and Senior Center, Meg?
I've been delinquent in paying attention to my areas, and I have nothing to report.
Okay. WTA Board, Eric?
The WTA is in the process of purchasing some propane vehicles for them, which are going to be a cost savings and an emission savings and a likelihood that it's going to be a longer running vehicle. To what extent, we don't know yet, but from what the maintenance staff says, the oil comes out much cleaner, so they anticipate good things out of their new propane fleet, or at least partial propane fleet, and they're going to put a new propane tank in. So moving forward on that.
All right. Public Works Advisory, Mary Lou?
The biggest thing at the Public Works was the old City Hall, and I don't know if Raven was going to speak on that next week or not, or if any staff had anything to say about that, but I'm our understanding is that information came back on rehabbing Old City Hall, and it looks to be prohibitively expensive. I didn't see the actual dollar amount, and we haven't discussed it any further, but it would be prohibitively expensive to continue to maintain at this point.
All right. Finance Committee, we have no report this time. Okay, next we have department reports, and first up is the city manager has some length of service awards to hand out.
I do. This is kind of fun, and it's also especially fun because some of the employees who have extended lengths of service are here tonight, and so I get to give out two awards to these ladies who are two of the three longest-serving folks who are recognized, but I'm going to run through the list of the other folks first and then get to the others. We have a five-year service for Tim Richardson. He's one of our police officers. I'll give that to Acting Chief King to present that to him. And we have another one for police officer Jason Hent. So it's his one-year pin. Another one-year pin is Julie Cramey, who is a maintenance worker at Public Works. Other than those, Tracy Cruz, who was here this evening presenting earlier or was in attendance for the presentation earlier, has been with the city for 10 years, starting back in 2008. And Leo Baldwin is earned his 20-year length of service award, and he's been with the city since 98. But as I said, the other two are here, and it's a pleasure to give a 20-year length of service award to Sydney Dougal, who I think we all know as Sid. I didn't even know that your name was Sydney. To Sid Dougal for 20 years, and I think that's fantastic.
And what is her position?
Part-time maintenance worker.
All right. Great. Oh.
And Chrissy Ness is back there saying, it seems like just yesterday. and Chrissy has been with the city for 30 years, since 1988.
Wow.
That's a really long time of service. That's phenomenal. And I think that speaks very well of the city, but also very well of Ms. Ness. She's our wastewater treatment plant lead operator and is basically responsible for making sure that the Lighthouse Point Water Reclamation Facility is up and running and is treating wastewater as it does wonderfully. And she is probably very happy to work in that facility compared to what we used to have years ago when she started.
Man.
So
yes.
30 years for Chrissy Ness. Thanks, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that's all I have, but I think Alex was going to give an update on 665 Peace Portal Drive.
Yes, please do.
Good evening, Council. So just a quick update about 665 Peace Portal Drive. We have been working with a property owner down there to retrofit their building. We've received new engineering for them to go in and connect their building to the CMU block wall in between 665 and 633 Peace Portal. So with that, they're moving forward. We've issued a building permit for them to get started on that work, and they're proceeding with a retrofit to that building. What that allows us to do is basically reestablish the sequencing so that the contractor will go in there, retrofit that wall to stabilize that wall in between the two buildings. And that way the city can move forward with a demolition plan for 665 Peace Portal. And so at this time, we're anticipating the construction to be completed by December 25th of this year. And so at that point, that wall and that building will be secure, and then the city can move forward with the demolition. And we're also going to go out and rebid the demolition costs. And so with that wall being secured in between the two buildings, we think we'll be able to much more effectively remove or demo the building at 665. Basically, it should be less expensive to do that. And we don't know what the order of magnitude of those reduction in cost to the city would be, but when we go out to bid here in another couple months, another month or so, we'll know. And so once that bid comes back in. So the takeaways here are that the construction process should be completed by the end of the year, December 25th, per the agreed order, and that will allow us to begin construction at the beginning of next year.
Any questions?
So is the city assuming the entire cost of that wall?
No, that wall is being paid for in the
by the
property owner. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
And any reason why it's taking so long? Why there's such a long lead time to do it?
Well, it is a complicated construction process to reinforce that existing wall. Uh-huh. And the owner did a request for a little more time at the hearing examiner, and so that was extended from 120 days to 150 days, which brought it to about the end of the year. So.
Okay. I thought it had already been extended before in the past.
Not really? I believe so, yes. Yeah.
I can speak to that real quickly.
Okay.
Alex is correct in saying it was. However, we were unable to comply with the hearing examiner's order as it stood because of the $400,000+ cost to the city. So we had to go back to the hearing examiner after evaluating alternatives and coming up with a different design. When I say coming up with a different design, that was approving a different design by the owner of the adjacent building. So we had to go back to the hearing examiner because we were unable to comply with the prior ruling. Mm-hmm. And at that hearing, we had recommended 120 days. They requested additional time, and he granted that.
So the design has been approved?
Yes.
The city has approved it, and it's just a matter of doing it now?
Right.
And we're giving it to December to do that?
The hearing examiner gave them until December to do that.
Okay.
And we are receiving monthly status reports from the contractor and property owner.
Can we go out for bids prior to that being accomplished and finished so that we can get on with the demolition as quickly as possible after that's done?
Yes, absolutely. That is our intent, to go out to bid in about a month.
Okay.
And so they won't be finished again with the, mm-hmm. Reconstruction going on with that wall till the end of the year. So.
Okay. I'm only asking because I keep getting asked, when is that building coming down? And I'm getting kind of tired of saying, it's delayed, and I keep saying that we're trying to, in deference to the flower shop owner, that's her livelihood, that's her business, and so we've been very sensitive to that issue, and we've just given a lot of time than we normally would have if it had just been a separate building to come down. That would have been done a whole long time ago. So, okay, that's great. Great
Thank
to hear.
You.
Oh, yeah. I might mention that the new police chief is set to be here August 20th, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Jones?
That's correct. The new chief. The new police chief, Lieutenant Schubert, will be here on August 20th, probably be in town over that weekend, sooner than that. So you'll see him at the next council meeting. And I did actually have one other thing that I had almost forgotten about, is I wanted to just hand out a copy of this to all of you, which is the updated promotional brochure for the city. We are working on two other items similar to this. With one for manufacturing industrial development specifically, and another one that's related to downtown and retail development that would have some information related to the number of households within the area and the income levels and that sort of thing that would be useful statistics for retail. The manufacturing one has a different kind of focus, but it's a similar brochure. So I'll just hand those out in a moment, unless there are any other items or questions for us. I think if not, then we're probably ready to go to that executive session.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So there's any unfinished or new business to go over first before we recess for executive?
I just wanted to get an update on, I guess, a broad question of the train. I've been getting a lot of train as usual, but an increased amount of train complaints. Who's the person to go to
about train issues and, yeah, I'll start there.
That's a good question. What's the train issue then?
Burlington Northern.
Yeah.
Is the answer to that question.
Good.
What are the nature of...
Many. You know, there's, of course, constantly the complaint about the intersection that we all know that it's a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I am at the point even of being able to acknowledge, like, the current status, while frustrating, like, this is not okay anymore. We've got to figure out some way to increase public safety there, and maybe that's bringing in the police department to do something else or creative. Perhaps the new chief will have some ideas. I don't know, but it's just a safety issue, you know, many times a day. What's the name of that road? Help me out here.
Bell Road.
Yeah, we've got you know, a line of traffic going back onto the freeway exit, and you know, people going to the right, people going to the left, pedestrians. It's a multitude of problems that are waiting to happen and happening.
Yeah, that's really an engineering solution that needs to happen. I was on the phone with WashDOT today about that issue generally. We continue to work on it, and you can send folks to me or to Raven for that particular matter. It is a many hundreds of thousands of dollars or a multi-million dollar fix.
I hear that.
So we are, you know, we are working on it, but I certainly understand the frustration. Living on the south side of the railroad tracks, I fully appreciate it.
I would just ask that the city take a look at ways to increase the safety with the sort of disaster design that we have to live with for a while.
Sure.
There's something we could do with that.
I think one thing that is within our power to do, I believe, is not on Bell Road. That I don't know what we can do about the backup on Bell Road. But on northbound on Peace Portal, there's no way to get around the lineup. And I think we've looked at this before, and I don't know what can be done based on the space constraints. But if people can find a way to be able to get around people who are waiting to turn left onto Bell Road, if you want to go straight through, you're stuck.
Yeah.
See,
this is
the option. If you want to go straight through, is to drive into oncoming traffic and home.
That's exactly. And that's
on
what
either side.
Do.
That's what they do. Yeah. They drive onto you know, the other lane.
So it is something that we've investigated in the past. It is something that we've actually proposed a construction project to WashDOT. If I'm not mistaken, it was turned down because we were told the intersection as a state highway needs to be upgraded to full standard or we can't touch it. But I will defer that and any additional information to Raven. It's a complicated topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not appropriate really for me to try to address it without her here. And it's probably something, honestly, that needs a study session to bring people up to speed on kind of what the issue is and where we are. But it is definitely an issue that we're working on addressing, but not with short-term fixes, with a solution.
It seems
but
all you
I'll
have to do is remove that curb that prevents you.
That would be...
Why do you have to build the whole road to remove a curb? I don't understand that, but, yeah, if you could have her... Maybe
let's
look at it again, check into it again.
Yep. We'll have her.
Either a contact information that we can send people to or another study session, but something other than no, we can't do anything about this. I think we need to do. I'm not suggesting a complete overhaul. I realize it's a complicated matter, but we also have a potential safety issue. There was a video posted online of a very alarming video of traffic going to the right, traffic going to the left, nighttime, pedestrian crossing, all within seconds.
Yeah.
That we have a responsibility to do something with that.
And certainly we should, and we are, and but those people, I would point out, are breaking the law. Not the pedestrian. They were probably crossing the street.
Not in the crosswalk, of course.
I don't think there is one.
Dotting through the... Well, so those are the things I'd like to look at.
Yeah, so, but in any case, those folks that are crossing lanes and traveling the wrong way on the, you know, the northbound and southbound lanes, and they're breaking the law, so they should theoretically wait in line. But nonetheless, we will have a report to you that is more thorough. And again, you suggested contact information, me or Raven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe if we got a contact with WashDOT, that they, I don't know, they have such a thing as an ombudsman or some sort of customer service person. That might be unlikely. But if we can get somebody's email and they're bombarded by citizens, if we gave that email out, maybe...
There'd be some, you know,
that's the kind of thing we need to do. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just going to mention, the other thing, why it's urgent is they're anticipating a 25 to 35% increase in northbound trains over the next 3 years.
Yeah, see, that's just, it's untenable. It's just not.
We can't continue on as is.
No.
And continue to build out the way that we have planned.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly in that neighborhood. There's nowhere for the cars to go.
Okay, we're going to recess now for executive session to discuss real estate. And we should be, what, 20 minutes?
15 or 20 minutes, and no action is expected.
And no action expected. Okay.
It's pretty slick, isn't it?
Oh, what's that?